Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Winter Harbor Secrets by Sierra Knight. An icy harbor, a missing agent, a fake marriage that feels far too real. When by the book, FBI Special Agent Vivian Durand is assigned to pose as a honeymooner on a rusted-out boat off the Maine coast, she knows it's her last shot to erase the stain of a disastrous op and the partner who vanished without a trace. Her target? Laurel Tide, a ruthless coastal syndicate built on smuggling, extortion, and the kind of trafficking the Bureau buries in sealed files. Her cover husband? The one man she doesn't trust. For 7 years, rule-breaking Special Agent Thomas Blake has chased Laurel Tide through storms, gunfire, and body bags. Going deep cover in Winter Harbor is his best chance to finally bring them down. But from the moment he and Vivian step onto the Windward Lady, their so-called safe house, nothing is what it seems. The boat is booby-trapped, their comms are compromised, and every move they make is watched by enemies on the docks, and possibly a traitor inside the Bureau.
On this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense, my guest is Sierra Knight, a USA Today and Publishers Weekly best-selling and award-winning author, and I'm delighted that we're going to get to talk about all things writing. So welcome to my shows.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So I noticed that a lot of your books were sweet Christian romance, and now you're moving into, or maybe not now, but you've been moving into the romantic suspense genre. So why the switch? I mean, I personally, I'm like, why didn't you start in romantic suspense? It's just the best genre ever. But some of us get there a little bit slower than others. So tell us how you made that transition.
I think I've always written about courage and sacrifice and redemption, and romantic suspense simply raises the stakes. It allows me to explore faith under pressure, what happens when belief is tested by real danger. I didn't step away from my foundation of the sweet small town romance. I kind of deepened it. Suspense gives me a way to explore how faith functions when everything feels unstable.
Yeah, and personally, I've always just enjoyed the added layer of the, you know, the danger and the are they going to figure out what's happening kind of thing to it. I mean, I love a good sweet Christian romance, and I'll read those every once in a while, but I find myself when I'm reading them, Sierra, I'm going, so who's trying to kill them? Where's the danger? So I guess maybe I am just wired a little different. Not that my own romance with my husband was anything dangerous at all, no, but in the books, I like to live dangerously.
Well, I understand. And I actually think I've had the suspense in several of my books without actually realizing it was suspense until somebody called me out for it.
I love that. Yeah. I think it's just, the way I think our brains, brains work. So you were actually probably not realizing that you were in the wrong genre. This is what you're telling me.
After 50 books, I still write both. I'm with Love Inspired also for their Love Inspired line and their LIS. I just sold one to them for that. So I write in both, and I still love both. I just want a happily ever after for my readers. There's too much in life that you have to deal with. I want somebody to walk away with hope and heart when they leave one of my books.
I love that, you know, because whenever I'm talking to potential readers of my books, and I just tell them, I said, look, my books are clean, no gratuitous sex, violence, or foul language. I said, happy ever after guaranteed. And sometimes they'll laugh. I'm like, hey, I said, there's enough badness in this world. I'm telling you, you read one of my books and you are going to walk away with that hope and happiness. So I love when authors, you know, I think we all recognize that, but I love that, you know, we can be really upfront about it. And I think that's what the world needs. I think they need
that
hope, that positivity. So, and we throw in a good story too. So, you know, what's not to love?
Oh, yes. And I hope I do.
I know, me too. I hope you enjoy it. A good story. So I know in one of your romantic suspense books, Winter Harbor Secrets, which listeners will get an excerpt from later on in this podcast, how do you do the research for the maritime sabotage elements? I mean, I know that now you live on a boat, a trawler, I think, if I got that correct. So, you know, do you like look around and go, how can I sabotage this boat? I mean, you know, that might not want to say that too loud.
Well, yes, actually in the first book, Christmas Harbor Secrets, it was when we first moved aboard, and I had everything from lines being untied and the boat taking off. I think I created my own fear of my own boat for writing the story. But I will say that living aboard a trawler had me looking at storms differently. I mean, the ocean is breathtaking, but it's humbling. You realize quickly that you are not in control. The awareness kind of inspired Winter Harbor. I wanted a setting that physically reflects the spiritual lesson of surrender, because on the water, you either respect the elements or they will teach you to.
Yes, that is so true. So, but I have to ask, how'd you end up on a trawler? I know it has nothing to do with writing, but I know I am not the only one listening to this podcast going, how'd she end up living on a trawler? So can you tell us?
Yeah, so my husband and I had this dream for about 10 years. We were, you know, the suburban 2.5 children with pets kind of situation. And I loved our life. And I faced my children leaving home that, you know, I actually brought my babies home to the house we lived in. And I didn't want to sit around the house being depressed, because they were successful. They went off to college. They're having a great time. It's their lives. And we thought, hey, maybe I can get my kids to visit me more if I live on a trawler. So we seriously had been planning for 10 years that we wanted to sail around the world. That vision has changed and morphed over the 10 years. We went from a monohull to a catamaran and now to a trawler. Part of it was my husband is very binary, and we used to help people move sailboats. And we were in the Bahamas, actually, and we were going from one island to the other. And we were zigzagging, tacking back and forth, but not just back and forth, forward and back. So the 3 hours took us 6.5 hours to get there. And my husband looked at me and he said, I like sailing. It's not my passion. I want to get there. So that's how we landed on the trawler in the end.
I love that. That is so fun. Yes, my husband and I have talked about, you know, doing the RV or camping thing around, you know, when our kids all go off. It'll be a little while before we'll do that. My youngest will be heading off to college soon, and which we're super excited about. So we'll be empty nesters, but I'll be starting a kind of a second career as necessary. And, you know, one day we'll get there. But, yeah, it's nice. I love hearing those stories. So thank you for sharing that. That is great. So I also want to know, how do you write on the boat? I mean, do you have, like, a favorite place? Are you always distracted by the beautiful scenery? I mean,
what's funny is I've always been a prolific writer. Nothing ever gets in my way. I've never had writer's block. When I first moved on to the trawler, I did. And I was writing sweet small town romance and some other genres. And I just was having problems. So I finally took all of my fears. I like to just, if I'm scared of something, I go for it. I don't hold back. And I think that part of it was my therapy when we got on board. It was learning to live on a boat with storms, and like right now we're sitting in a protected anchorage, but we had 37 mile per hour winds this morning, and our anchor dragged a little bit, so our anchor alarm's going off and we're running around and it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And you know, you get used to all of this stuff and it becomes part of the lifestyle. But I think that's why those books developed. It helped me get over my first ever writer's block, and those first two books of the series just flew out of me. I wrote them both in a month while we were at a marina.
I think it's true. You know, I noticed that sometimes when we're dealing with, you know, life changes or this or that, that we can just put our heads down and just knock those words out sometimes. So I love how books helped you get over over that writer's block. So for Harbor, Winter Harbor Secrets, what was the hardest scene to write in this book? I mean, I know you said you wrote it pretty quick, but I think there might have been a scene that was hard.
Yeah, the confrontation about their past choices, it forced them and me to sit in an uncomfortable truth. You know, when characters are stripped away of their defenses, that's scary territory as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the high-impact scenes. It's about those connection scenes between your characters, that vulnerability as a writer you have to get right, or nobody's going to care about your characters.
Yeah.
So that is probably the hardest scene, was when they first, when they finally came to terms with their past and were able to look at each other in a new light.
I love that. That's great. Well, we are almost out of time, Sierra. So can you tell us, what do you really want readers to feel when they close Winter Harbor Secrets or any of your books? What kind of feeling do you want them to leave with?
Oh, definitely hope that even in the middle of storms, literal or emotional, we are not alone. That love is worth fighting for, and that grace is often stronger than fear. That's it.
Oh, no, I love it. That is a perfect way to close our time together. So thank you so much for sharing about your writing life, your life on your trawler, and Winter Harbor Secrets.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been my absolute pleasure.
Now an excerpt from Winter Harbor Secrets by Sierra Knight. Lightning ripped through the sky, turning the coastal pines white for an instant before plunging them back into shadow. Thunder rolled in behind it, deep and angry, shaking the ground beneath Special Agent Vivian Duran's boots. The storm pressed down on the small main inlet, the kind that warned of worse to come. Wind, sleet, power lines snapping in the night. She climbed the porch steps, heart steady, rain sliding cold beneath her collar. Each board creaked underfoot, loud in the electric stillness. Wind scraped through the eaves, whispering through the cracked siding. The off-book safehouse crouched at the edge of the woods, half hidden behind bare trees and low clouds. No porch light. No generator hum. Another flash of lightning illuminated the front of the house. The door hung open. She gripped her Glock before the thought finished forming. She pressed to the wall beside the doorframe, rain dripping from her sleeve, every sense tuned sharp. One breath. Two. The faintest sound, a floorboard giving under weight. Someone moved inside. A flash of lightning lit the entryway. She caught a shape, a shoulder, a movement, and she lunged. Boot to the door, gun raised, clearing left to right. "Federal agent, show me your hands!" For a moment, only the storm answered. "Unless you're planning to shoot me, Viv, lower that thing before you take out the lamp." A voice, deep and too calm, rolled from the shadows. A voice with a slight Boston accent that made ladies swoon over him. A voice she pulled away from and leaned into in equal measure. Vivian exhaled hard, her grip loosening a fraction. Special Agent Thomas Blake, a royal pain in Vivian's life, stepped into the weak spill of light from the kitchen, a coffee cup in his hand and that infuriating half-grin on his face. "Blake," she muttered, holstering her weapon, "you weren't supposed to be here until tomorrow. Don't you have a life beyond the job?" He raised that cocky brow of his. "Should I point out you're a day early, too? That accountant you're involved with not live up to your expectations?" He was a data analyst, and my personal life isn't up for discussion. "Was?" That crooked grin of his flashed, then he shrugged it away. "Storm coming through early. Figured I'd beat the traffic." He gestured toward the single cup. "Didn't expect company just yet, but good thing since we can beat the storm. Should slide past Winter Harbor. You could have let me know you were here already." "And ruin your dramatic entrance?" His smirk deepened. "Didn't think you'd actually clear the place with your gun drawn. Besides, the last transmission Jensen sent was intercepted. Any communication risks exposing us." He wasn't wrong, which irked her, so she closed the door with a sharp shove. "You should have told me." He lifted the cup again, unbothered. "Want coffee?" Her gaze swept the room. Tight space, one bed, one couch, no separation. "Terrific. You didn't mention the safe house was cozy." "Didn't know it mattered." "It doesn't," she snipped. "Why off books? Should have told Maddox about this place." "Not off books. Mine." He gestured to the room like it was a grand palace, not a hunting-style cabin. Yours? She rolled her eyes. Not a surprise. At least we're out of here soon. Too small for two of us. Space is perfect since Bureau says we're honeymooners, not roommates. The Bureau designed our cover, or did you suggest it? Blake's mouth curved, but it wasn't quite a smile. I'm wounded. You're my partner and my equal. She ignored him, tossing her bag onto the couch. Too bad Jensen didn't have an off-books fallback. Blake's expression shifted, the light flattening his eyes. Exactly why we tell no one about this place. And if Laurel Tide sticks to their M.O., Jensen won't be found. Let's not let this lead be wasted, since it cost Jensen his life. For a heartbeat, everything inside her went still. Let's get to work. You got the latest brief? He reached into a folder and slid a photo across the table. A trawler gleaming white under a dull Maine sky. Meet the Windward Lady, our new home. The wind came off the water sharp as glass. The Windward Lady sagged against the dock, rust bleeding down her sides. The wheelhouse windows were fogged with mildew, and the name barely clung to the peeling paint. Vivian reached for the metal rail to steady herself. Pain seared up her arm. The jolt hit hard enough to make her stumble. She bit out a curse, jerking her hand back, palm stinging. A faint wisp of smoke curled from the spot where her glove had torn. Blake was there in an instant, hand catching her elbow. You all right? Fine, she managed, except for the part where your boat nearly killed me. He crouched beside the rail, fingers brushing the wire running along its base. A tiny arc flared in the mist, blue-white hissing. Decklight, he muttered. Wiring shot. She knelt beside him. The copper was exposed, the insulation stripped clean. Too clean. That doesn't look like wear. Blake shook his head. No, it looks deliberate. Sleet drifted harder now, slanting through the beam of the dock light. Somewhere out in the bay, a buoy clanged like a warning. Vivian swallowed. You think someone didn't want us boarding? He didn't answer. Just glanced toward the dark marina, eyes narrowing into the fog. Another flare of blue light sparked from the wire. Maybe, she said quietly. Or they already know who we are, and this boat is wired to kill.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.